Good morning to everyone. It's good to see each of you here this morning. Happy to have those who are on the live stream as well. Today's message, if you've looked in the bulletin, is entitled On Being Christians. And I say that with a little bit of a caveat there, because if you look in the bulletin at the very end, you'll find that the S is put in quotation marks. And when Tim asked me what my lesson was going to be on so he could kind of pick his songs for this morning, I was pretty vague to him. So I appreciate the songs that he picked out. What we're going to be looking at is the life of a Christian and what that entails. And there are a lot of things that we could say in regards to that, but there are four aspects in particular I would like us to consider, and all of them begin with the letter S, hence the emphasis on the S on Christians. That being said, number one, being a Christian means we are saints. And we don't hear that said very often, at least as far as on our own conversations. We talk about ourselves being Christians and brothers and disciples and things like that. But we are also saints. Now, this term comes from the Greek word hagios, and I already asked forgiveness on the pronunciation of some of these because we're going to be looking at a few Greek terms this morning. But it means to be sacred, pure, blameless, holy, which is what the Lord wants us as Christians to be, those types of individuals. And I find it interesting in the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, that many of the salutations, many of the beginnings of those letters, he calls his listeners saints. Romans 1 verse 7 uses it. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. Ephesians 1:1, I believe Philippians 1:1, that goes on and on and on in the identification of the Christians at those particular locations. So it's a common address for him. And as we delve into the idea of saints a little bit further, the Apostle Peter, in his first letter, really hones in on that idea of being holy. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, looking at verses 5 and 9, he gives kind of a description of the Christian. Excuse me. And there we read in verse 5, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Then drop down a little bit further in verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So that idea of being holy, being sacred, being a special people is found in that thought of saints. And we as Christians should be just that. But not only do we look or see a description here, we can look in other parts of the New Testament where it shows us responsibilities that we have as saints. Of course, one of the utmost is we need to have the proper love and respect for one another. In Colossians chapter 1, In verse 4, we read, let's drop back to verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. And if you go back up, it talks about them in verse 2, being saints and faithful brethren. So Christians should be showing the proper love toward one another. And we can look over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, and it talks about that love as well, a fervent love that we should have for one another. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And there's that idea of purity, which we talked as one of the definitions for saint, for hagios. But not only should we have love for one another, that love should go beyond just expressing it by saying, I love you, but by showing it in our actions, in ministering to one another. As Art read for us just a moment ago from Romans chapter 12, it indicated that to us. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So we have that responsibility to one another, and we have the responsibility to others as well. And we could look over to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, and it kind of talks about that same idea there, where we read, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, or you continue to do so. So as far as saints are concerned, we are to be pure. We are to be holy. We are to be loving. And we are to be ministering to the needs of one another. In the second place, being a Christian means we are servants. And we see in a number of different places this idea of being a servant throughout Scripture. In particular, as we look to the New Testament, we'll see it in response to Jesus himself. We're going to look at that passage here in just a little bit, that he came to serve. But just a little bit of background. The word servants comes from the Greek doulos or doulos, means slave, and you might see in the version you have in front of you, it might use the term slave in some of these things that we read this morning, or a bond servant. But it's being so because we want to be. We want to make that connection and to be a servant to the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, back to the Gospel of Matthew. Going to be looking at a couple of different things here in regards to this idea of being a servant. In Matthew chapter 20, we have an instance of some of the disciples, some of the apostles, wanting places of prominence. And Jesus speaks to them about this. Of course, the two that want this seat of authority, so to speak, gets the other 10 riled up. And Jesus has to talk to them about this. And in Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 25, he says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Now notice, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself or give his life a ransom for many. So there's our perfect example, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve. And the expectation is that his followers would do likewise, to be servants. And if we move over a few chapters, in Matthew chapter 25, we have the example of, or the parable, I should say, of the talents. And if you remember, there are three individuals who are given different talents, 5 to 1, 2 to another, 1 to a third. 2 of the 3 are commended for their faithful service. Verse 21 of chapter 25. This is to the 5-talent man. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Go to verse 23. You see similar things said in regards to the 2-talent man. So the servant the Lord commended is the faithful servant who is doing the work, the service that God expects him to do. And of course, he wants those who seek to please him and not are striving to be man pleasers, as we read in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. The Apostle Paul, once again, has something to say about this in regards to the young evangelist, Timothy. In instruction that he gives to him, he talks about being a servant as well. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read the following verses, beginning with verse 24. "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth." So he gives Timothy some guidance, some guidelines as to what a true servant of the Lord's is. Must not be a quarrelsome person, but gentle. Must have that, not only the ability, but the desire to want to teach. We all should have that desire to teach others, to be patient, to show humility. But I guess when it comes down to talking about servants, one of my favorite passages is found in Romans chapter 6. A lot of times when we look to Romans chapter 6, we look at the outset of the verses there, and don't get me wrong, those verses are very, very important for us and to us, when it talks about the importance of baptism and being buried with our Lord in baptism and coming up out of that watery grave. That's the beginning of a new life. And as we consider the idea of servants, as we look at a few verses here, it's talking about those who've thrown off the shackles of sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And I guess in our own thinking at times, we would look at that, that seems to be contradictory. Slaves of righteousness, but that's the heart and the attitude that we should have, that we want to do what's right. That's what we're focusing on. Notice what's said beginning in verse 16 of Romans chapter 6. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, or some other renderings might say servants of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And there's that idea of holy, which goes in line with what we said in regards to saints. And also verse 22 in this chapter as well. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So servants, workers, slaves to the Lord, slaves to righteousness, wanting to do what's right and pleasing in the sight of God. In the third place, being a Christian means we are soldiers. And we sing songs about this. Soldiers of Christ, arise. Onward, Christian soldiers. Yes, that idea is found in God's word. Comes from a Greek term, and I know I'm going to butcher this one up. I've struggled with this one all along. Strategio, I think is how it's pronounced. It means a warrior. And we are to be warriors. We are to be soldiers. We are in a battle. We are in warfare. There will be hardships. And we see, once again, going to Paul's instructions to Timothy. He makes him aware of those things, that you're going to be in a battle. Notice, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. There we read, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." You're going to be in a battle, Timothy. Wage good warfare. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So, enduring hardship, being a good soldier throughout this warfare, you're focused on that battle that's before us. And the warfare that we're talking about, we're not talking about a physical battle. We're talking about a spiritual battle. We're talking about a battle for the hearts and minds of men. That's why we proclaim the gospel. At least we're supposed to be doing it. And I appreciated the songs that Tim picked out this morning, because all of those dealt with that, getting that message out. Because we have an adversary out there, the devil, who is trying to keep people away from listening to the Lord and doing what he says. Therefore, since we are in this battle, we need to be prepared. We need to be equipped. And Paul gives us some direction, some instruction on that from the inspired word found in Ephesians chapter 6, a passage that all of us are familiar with, I believe, to some extent. Because it talks there about the armor that we should be wearing. And to stand strong, to stand firm, to stand fast. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And that's a key. We've got to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And we could look over to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. It gives a little bit of that same armor that we should be wearing. But as we see in the passage, we're looking at full coverage on the body from head to toe to be prepared and to always be prepared. Because if we give the slightest inkling, give the slightest opening, our adversary, the devil, is going to try to sneak in there and win that battle. So, we as Christians are to be soldiers and to stand firm and loyal to our leader. And in the fourth and final place this morning, being a Christian means we are stewards, a term that we don't hear a whole lot of in the scripture or in everyday life. Stewards comes from a Greek term, oikonomos, or something similar to that, meaning a manager, an overseer, a superintendent, someone who is watching after something or watching over something. And we see in God's word that we are supposed to be good and faithful stewards. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, looking at the first couple of verses there, talks about stewards. And there we read, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Required to be faithful and good stewards. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, also speaks in regards to stewards. There we read the following. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So good and faithful stewards, good and faithful overseers or superintendents or managers. And this stewardship that we have includes quite a few different things, some in particular, the spreading of the gospel, as well as the caring for others. If we go back to Romans chapter 12, where we kind of began things this morning, prior to the verses that Art read for us, we read the following. And let's drop back to Romans chapter 12. Drop back to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, that everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So we need, as a body, each of us individually, to do our part, whatever that might be. And we all are different. We all have different abilities. But the Lord expects us to use those to serve Him, to honor Him, to carry out His work here upon this earth. But not only do we have the obligation as stewards to share the gospel with others and to help those in need, especially those, of course, of the household of faith, we also have the responsibility to use our time, our talents or abilities, and our resources the Lord has bestowed upon us wisely. Use our time wisely here upon this earth. God's given us the time. We don't know how long it's going to be. We need to use it wisely. He's given us abilities. Use the abilities that we have. He's provided us resources. Let's use those resources wisely in service and in honor to Him. Notice, for example, a couple of passages found in the letter to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge, or with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. That's the expectation that He has of us, and we need to strive for that, to be fruitful. And also continue to grow and to mature as He wants us to. It's not a process that ever ends. We should always be studying and learning more and more and drawing nearer and nearer to Him. And also over in Colossians chapter 4, reading this time verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Walk in wisdom. Teach others. Do so with your words that, as it says here, always with grace, seasoned with salt. Be prepared to give answers to others as to why we believe what we believe, why we live the way we live, why we want them to become a child of God, why we're concerned about their soul salvation and their well-being. So as Christians, being a Christian also means being a steward, which brings us to really the end of our lesson this morning. May we truly be the Christians, the saints, the servants, the soldiers, and the stewards that the Lord wants us to be, doing what it is that He wants us to do here upon this earth, being lights to those that we come in contact with, doing our best to please and honor Him. I hope these words have been of encouragement to you this morning. And if you're here this morning and you haven't become a child of God, we encourage you to do so, to become a saint, a steward, a servant, a soldier for Christ. We have everything that's necessary to do so. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then repent of your sins. Come to Him confessing that Jesus is the Son of God and being buried in baptism in the waters that we have behind us. And if you're here and you want to become a child of God, we're here to serve you. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling in your life as a Christian, you're not the faithful servant that you feel like you should be, we encourage you to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. If you need the prayers and the encouragement of the congregation, we're here for you. We'll pray with you and for you. So whatever your need might be this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing our invitation song?